Chapter 1.
Welcome to the world of the art on the Rotterdam. Now don't worry, this isn't going to be one of those dull museum tours that requires a couple of hours of close attention. You don't even have to whisper. But it will give you a starting point to help you appreciate some of the art treasures aboard. I'm Paul Lassley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. We're going to take you around the Rotterdam today and show you some of the art commissioned exclusively for the Rotterdam by Holland America Line. Let's begin the tour right here in the Explorations Cafe. Have a seat and get comfortable while we explain a little about the tour.
First, a little background. Art has always been important to Holland America, and traditionally the ships have always been filled with notable art. Today, the collection ranks among the largest at sea, and it's worth many millions of dollars. As you'll see as we take you on the tour, the art includes many museum-quality antiques, as well as some contemporary art by recognized artists and some newcomers. Stein Kruse, president and CEO of Holland America Line, explains how important the art is to the line's heritage.
When Holland America Line was founded in 1873, our company quickly became a leader in bringing new and modern innovations to cruising. And to this present day, we continue that proud tradition. As you follow along on this art tour, notice how our architect Frans Dingemans has created a unique environment for you to enjoy. And Frans has placed the art very carefully to create a comfortable setting where you can enjoy all the onboard experiences we have for you.
Architect Frans Dingemans of Utrecht in the Netherlands has designed the interiors of many Holland America Line ships, and everything, the colors, the fabrics, the furniture, even the ceilings and floors are meant to be a part of the whole look and feel of the ship.
Holland America Line always decorated their ships with contemporary art, modern art and conventional art to bring together an art collection, total environment of the ship and the rooms you're sitting in. The way you do that is basically following your own heart.
And the artworks are important to the guests too. One of Holland America's captains, Jan Schmidt, shared this with us.
Almost on a daily basis, I get comments about how they enjoy the art on the ship and how these ships in Holland America Line are a lot different from ships in other companies just because of the art. Definitely, we're getting a lot of positive comments about them.
Dingemans incorporate certain themes into each ship. Here on the Rotterdam, one theme is time. You'll see some remarkable clocks and timepieces. There are even some internal clock mechanisms that show the artistry of the early clockmakers. Now, the centerpiece of the atrium on the Rotterdam is a large ornamental clock that represents various timekeeping devices through the centuries.
Another theme is Holland America Line's more than 130-year history, and beyond that, the line's Dutch maritime heritage. The Rotterdam is the flagship of the Holland America fleet, and so it's filled with antiques that represent the rich seafaring heritage of the line. And you can see that right here in the library of the Explorations Cafe. Notice the inlaid marble table? Well, those are natural colors of marble, carefully inlaid into the surface to create the swirls and flowers. This table is created in Pietrasanta, Italy by Gilbert Le Bigre and Corinne Roger. And notice the large portrait of a nobleman by a follower of John Ravischen? It dates from 1630. Imagine that. It's a fine likeness, but in the fashion of the day, the portrait was as much about showing wealth as the likeness of the person. All that intricate lace indicated a wealthy man indeed.
And before we leave the room, look over in the corner, over there in the glass display case at the end of the library with the inlaid marble table. Inside is a very fine wooden Japanese sculpture dating from 1717. Now before we begin, just a word about the tour. Feel free to pause the tour at the end of some of the chapters and at any time during the tour to give yourself time to get to the location of the next artwork or if you just like to spend more time to admire something. And since this is a museum-quality art collection we'll be visiting today, if you find that a piece is missing from the collection, probably it's being restored or perhaps on loan. Most likely, it will be back in place for your next cruise. Chapter 2. Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck. Midships. Okay, ready to go exploring? Well, walk out of the Explorations Cafe and turn left. In front of you, you'll see a display case that holds two very large lacquered vases from the Meiji period in Japan, around the beginning of the 19th century. Notice the exquisite workmanship.
And to your left across the hall are two suits of Japanese armor from a far earlier period in Japanese history. You know, samurai armor is extremely valuable, and these examples have been carefully restored so that they look just as the owner might have left them in the Edo period, around 1600, more than 400 years ago. Notice the intricate knots in the decoration. The use of Japanese antiques and art points up the fact that the Dutch traders were instrumental in opening Japan to the world. Okay now, there's something else really interesting just around the corner. Walk forward, but before you get to the casino, turn right. Walk past the elevators and midship stairwell. Before you reach the other side of the ship, stop and look to your left.
You'll see two large Chinese paintings. They're done in watercolors on silk, and notice the movement and action of the figures and how the colors emphasize that. And while you're here, notice the colorful ceiling. Franz Dingemans has included design touches everywhere to capture the detail of an earlier era of the great liners.
But remember that we told you the ship is designed like a work of art. On our walk, we've seen Asian art and antiques, along with some striking modern Asian works. While that's been a theme for the moment, you'll see as we go along that themes change and evolve. And just ahead, we're headed into the future.
Check out the cool chairs. This is Mix. It's a bar and meeting place that would be at home in any trendy hotel in the world. It has a sleek, sophisticated look, and it's designed to be a space where guests can enjoy their favorite beverage or signature cocktail. However, another highlight of Mix are the tables situated around the room. They're actually computers, well, or more accurately, computing surfaces. In fact, they're called Microsoft Surface.
Hey, this is totally cool. See, if you pretend to dip your hands in the water that plays over the surface of the screen, well, it actually moves as if you're actually putting your hand in it. This just might be the artistic surface of the 21st century. You know, Mix is one of the first places you can try this out.
Wow, just touch the screen and you can play chess and a bunch of other games. I want to see the water move again. Ooh, this is amazing.
Okay, let's stop playing in the water. We've got lots more to discover here aboard the Rotterdam.
Oh, well, if you insist. Okay, now from Mix, let's go forward and head out into the atrium. Check out the clock.
From the casino, head forward again to the atrium. You'll see the top of the great clock. Now, we'll tell you more about the clock later. And while you're in the atrium, take time to pause at the ocean bar. On one wall, there is a large painting by Jay Webb, done in 1884. Notice how he uses the light and shadow to create drama in the scene. And look at the large ship model in the display case in the center of the room. It's a very detailed model of a Dutch fishing vessel. Notice how the builder even captures the scale of the model in the rope rigging. It's a masterpiece of model making.
You might have noticed there are several ship models on the Rotterdam. Actually, Holland America ships have a very large collection of antique ship models on board. All are museum quality. We'll see another model later on that's very rare indeed.
Before you leave the atrium area, take a look at the glass sculpture that is to your left as you face forward. It's by Luciano Vistosi and is called Wave. It's not hard to see a wave in those fluid lines. Every ship built by Fincantieri Shipyard is given a gift by the yard, and this is the gift for the Rotterdam. Vistosi, who works on the island of Murano in Venice, has done works for several Holland America ships. Now continue walking forward around the top of the atrium to the forward elevators. Take one of the forward elevators up to Deck 9, the sports deck. Let's pause the tour here and we'll begin again once you've arrived on Deck 9, the sports deck.
Chapter 3, Deck 9, the sports deck, forward.
Now you should be on Deck 9, the sports deck. Facing toward the front of the ship, walk forward and bear to your right. Enter the right side or starboard side of the crow's nest. As you enter, and around the corner to your right in the starboard area of the crow's nest, is an amazing clock made in France in the mid-19th century. This rotary clock is covered in gold leaf and is intricately carved. It's a rotary clock since the globe at the top rotates and tells the time in both Roman and Arabic numerals. Remember this clock since its mechanism is somewhere else on the ship. We told you time was one of the themes of the art on the Rotterdam.
You know that many of these items that are gilded in gold are restored, but each is done in such a way that the gilding doesn't look totally new. It's part of the skill that goes into the restoring of these museum-quality works. While you're in this part of the crow's nest, take a minute to look up and down. In fact, that's something you should do often on this ship. Some of the most interesting design features are in the ceilings and floors. Here, Franz Dingemans has given the room a yacht-like feel with a colorful curved ceiling, and he's also captured the motif in the inlaid wood and marble floor. Continue around to the port side of the crow's nest. The crow's nest is a lounge that serves as an observation room by day. By night, it becomes a dance club. We suggest you pause the tour until you get to the port side of the room, then resume listening. Chapter 4, Deck 9, Sports Deck.
When you get to the port side of the room, that's the left side as you're facing forward, notice the beautiful ship model. It's a model made of bone and exquisitely detailed. Perhaps the builder used bone so that he could create the extremely fine detail in the carving. Notice even the cannon barrels have been hollowed out for realism. And look at the detail in the railing and the figurehead. Fritz Lumeyer is the executive director of the Maritime Museum in Rotterdam. It's widely considered one of the best in the world. He saw this model on the Rotterdam.
One of the ship models, there are more important models, but one of the ship models, a bone model in the crow's nest, 18th century, so beautifully done. It makes me jealous. In our museum, we only have 1,300 or 1,500 ship models. And the oldest is from the 15th century. But this model, well, it would be nice, it would in our collection.
Walk around the model. You'll see that the back reveals the internal structure of the ship and the large timber framing. Before you leave the crow's nest, notice the small cannon near the back wall. It's labeled VOC-161 and is an extremely fine example. You'll find antique cannon on several ships in the Holland America fleet. The VOC stands for the Dutch East India Company.
Okay, now let's leave the crow's nest. But before you leave deck number 9, the sports deck, check out a very interesting painting in the forward stairwell. Chapter 5, Deck 9, Sports Deck Forward. Look at the large vertical painting called Spring. It's in the stairwell between Deck 9, the sports deck, and Deck 8, the Lido deck. This is a very contemporary rendering of a classic Dutch flower painting. What a difference a few hundred years can make. It's by noted artist Jan Pieter van Ophesden. Take a close look at the brushstrokes. He not only uses brushes in his work, but his hands too. He paints with such energy. You can see that in his work. Also, notice the two large Venetian stone carvings in the alcoves on either side of the elevators. They're meant to grace a garden, and they carry out the statement of flowers and gardens made by the painting. They represent autumn and summer.
At this point, take either the stairs or the elevator down to deck number 8, the Lido deck. Press pause, and we'll catch up with you on the Lido deck.
Chapter 6, Deck 8, Lido Deck Forward. Whether you took the elevator or the stairs, now you should be on Deck 8, the Lido deck. Pause a moment here and look at the large painting by Rob Hudyk in the stairwell. It's of three flower girls in Maastricht, and it really captures the feel of the scene. We visited Hudyk in his studio in Alkmaar. That's the town that's famous for its cheese market. His studio is filled with art, including sculptures that he's done. You know, he has been drawing since he was 3 years old. He has so many ideas that he often works on dozens of paintings at once, doing a little on them each day. And talk about an interesting career. Before he became a full-time artist, he taught Greek and Latin. He loves it so much he still teaches part-time. If you go into the foyer of the Greenhouse Spa, you'll see more of Hudyk's work.
Now walk through the glass doors into the Lido pool area and take a look at the two sea lions at the end of the pool. These are by British sculptor Susanna Holt, and Holt stresses that they are California sea lions, not seals. She spends hours studying her subject and says that sea lions have small ears and seals do not.
Absolutely right. What I find interesting is how she does the work.
First of all, I start with my imagination. I have to study the animal in the wild as much as it's possible to do. And then I produce drawings from those ideas, and then I develop a tiny model in wax on flexible wire support. And that I can manipulate easily, so I can get the flow and the movement of the animal at that stage, which is easy to pull around. When I have the movement and the flow I'm after, then I make a quarter life size. And every detail at that stage has to be perfect, because you don't change a whole lot from that stand. We then make a rubber mold from this model, and then plaster castings from the mold. And then from these plaster castings, we do the enlargement to life size. Then we make more rubber molds of the life size section. This takes a lot of time. The bronze can only be 3/8 of an inch thick, or the sculpture would distort and be too heavy. So we then chip away the ceramic shell and weld all the pieces together, heads, flukes, flippers, and so on.
You have many months of actual work involved in this, don't you?
Many months. And within the internal part, there is a very complex pattern of steel supports that supports the extreme cantilever and the weight. So the enlargement of the molds themselves take approximately 5 months, and the casting is about the same.
Phew! Being a sculptor is hard work. After contemplating the tenderness that Holt has infused into her sculpture of the sea lions, well, continue walking toward the aft part of the ship. You'll be walking along the port side of the Lido pool, and you'll come to the Lido bar. It's a neat little area at the end of the pool with wicker chairs. Chapter 7, Deck 8, Lido Deck, Midships.
When you get to the Lido bar, look on the wall and you'll see some ceramic plates with fanciful images of people. These are a set by the famous Dutch artist Jan Snoek. He's one of the most charming men you'll ever want to meet. He's an amazing artist and has done work on several Holland America ships.
Keep walking aft and go through the glass doors of the Lido restaurant. Turn left into the midship stairwell. You're in for a surprise. Chapter 8, Deck 8, Lido Deck, Midships. When you get to the midship stairwell, look at the big circular glass work. It's by Gian Maria Potenza. This work is composed of hundreds of small pieces of glass of varying colors, including pieces fused with 24-karat gold. Now, I wonder why this work is titled Sun, and yet it's made with shades of dark blue glass. But then I realized that the gold is the light you sometimes see on the sun as it shines through the clouds. Well, at least that's my idea. What's yours, Paul?
Well, Potenza told us that much of the effect he gets with light on his glass comes from the fact that he discovered a way to cut glass tiles vertically rather than horizontally, and that gives him glass with more gradations of color and shadow. I think he achieves that in this work. He says that working in abstract forms allows him to express more of his emotions.
When you're ready to move on from admiring the craftsmanship of the Potenza sun, head toward the starboard side of the ship. Turn right and walk back through the Lido Cafe to the aft elevators. In the lobby, you'll see an elaborately carved table and mirror set. This heavily gilded set must have graced a chateau in the 1700s. The bottom dates from about 1680, and it's a particularly fine example of this style. When it was made, it was probably used to support a cabinet. You would have needed a large room to handle this scale.
The mirror also dates from 1680. You know, mirrors at this time were very valuable. They also weren't very large. You see, the glass was made by blowing a large cylinder, then cutting it open when it was hot to form a flat sheet of glass. The quality of the mirror was totally dependent on the skill of the glass blower, and the size was determined by his ability to create a very large and perfect cylinder.
Now turn around and look at the large tapestry on the wall in the stairs going up to Club Hal in the loft. It's a playful dolphin woven out of wool that provides a whimsical entry for the kids' area. It's by Schunium, and I've always wondered if the starfish might be symbols of real stars and the smiling dolphin is swimming through the heavens. You never quite know what meaning artists hide away in their work, but this one always brings a smile to those who see it. Now, retrace your steps forward through the Lido and the glass doors, and we'll meet you back in the Lido pool area, right next to some of those happy plates by Jan Schnuck.
There's something about looking at a work by Jan Schnuck that, well, it just makes you feel happy. You know, he does a ceramic sculpture of a dog, and the dog is smiling. Here, the people all seem to be smiling and even talking in a happy group. And while you're here, take a moment to appreciate the amazing qualities of the Sea Lions by Susanna Holt. Also, you'll get another view of the sculpture as you continue walking forward along the starboard side of the Lido pool. Walk out of the Lido pool area through the glass doors at the forward end of the pool, back to the forward staircase. You can pause the tour till you get there.
Chapter 9, Deck 8, Lido Deck, Forward.
Okay, now you should be at the forward stairwell on the Lido Deck, Deck 8.
At this point, you can take either the elevator or the stairs down to Deck 3, the lower promenade deck. But if you take the stairs, you're in for a special treat. On each of the next several landings in the forward staircase, you'll notice a large marine painting. These are by one of the world's leading marine artists, Captain Stephen J. Card.
You can pause the tour here and look at the paintings, or return another time to enjoy Card's art. Each painting has a descriptive label.
For each new Holland America ship, Card creates a collection of paintings. They typically depict the new vessel as well as earlier Holland America ships that bore the same or similar names. Do you ever wonder how an artist gets started?
Well, I've always painted. As a young boy, I painted various pictures. But when I was 17, I went away to sea, and I worked at sea for 13 years, rising through the ranks and eventually became captain on cargo ships. And I came back to Bermuda in 1984 and worked for a couple of years as harbor master. And then after that, I was not a very good civil servant, shall we say, and I decided to go back to sea, and while waiting for a job, I took up painting again. And then I sold a couple of paintings and decided to take up a full-time career as an artist.
Now, each of the paintings Carr did for Rotterdam has something special in it. Incidentally, the name of Holland America's flagship has always been Rotterdam since the first one in 1873. It was launched in 1872, but the company that became Holland America was formed in 1873, just a few months after the ship was built.
You can visit the former headquarters building of the line, although today it is a hotel.
It's a great little hotel, very trendy hotel now, and the restaurant there is fabulous. So if you're ever in Rotterdam, go there for lunch.
Rotterdam is one of the largest and busiest ports in the world and a major center of shipping. It's also home to great architecture since the city was completely rebuilt after World War II. There's even an architecture museum. The Maritime Museum in the city is one of the world's best and has a large collection of Holland America historical artifacts. It also has the world's oldest non-archaeological ship model. That means they didn't get it in a tomb or, you know, out of something in the desert. It's from Spain and is more than 500 years old. They think it may have come from a church.
Wow!
Fritz Lumeyer sees social history as well in these paintings.
And now you see, on the Rotterdam for instance, the historical paintings of Stephen Card. Beautifully done, precisely picturing the historical ships of the Holland America line, looking back to the history of the company, and in the post-war period, when Europe had to be built up again, people were not looking back, they were looking forward. That's the difference between the 1950s and the era we are living in now. But it, in both cases, it says a lot about how we are and what our perspective is.
Lumeyer told me that one of the great things about collecting maritime art is that it really gives you a perspective on history in so many ways. Now, Rotterdam, like many cities in Holland, is named with dam because, well, the city was built near or next to water, and they were protected from the water, these cities, by a dam or a dike. In Holland America Line, the passenger ships end in dam like Rotterdam, and the cargo ships ended in dike.
Except that Holland America no longer has cargo ships.
Well, no, but that was in the old days. Now, if you've decided to go down the stairs, the first two paintings you will come to are of Rotterdam 5 in the early colors of Holland America Line. It's shown arriving in 1961 at the pier in Hoboken, New Jersey. And right next to it, well, the current Rotterdam is shown at anchor off Bali on a world cruise. Continue down and you come to the Rotterdam 4, which card shows arriving off of England. Notice the two sailing yachts racing. One is King George V's Britannia.
Now walk down to deck 5 and you'll see the portrait of the Rotterdam 3 as she looked sailing across the Atlantic in 1900. On deck 4, you'll see the second Rotterdam as she sails through the Verrazzano Narrows and into New York. This was before the bridge was built. Notice that there's a steam towboat returning to harbor nearby. Gives you a real sense of time and history, doesn't it? Just think of the research that went into each of these works. And finally, on deck 3, you'll see the very first Rotterdam crossing the Atlantic in 1875. Notice that she's still using both steam and sail. At this point, you'll have arrived at deck 3, lower promenade deck, forward. On the other side of the elevators is the atrium and the base of the great clock.
Now you might want to take a brief detour down to deck 2 in the forward elevator before you go into deck 3, the atrium at the base of the clock. You'll see a remarkable piece on deck 2. When Fincantieri was expanding their shipyard in Marghera across the lagoon from Venice and the yard where Rotterdam was built, the workers dredged up a mermaid. Actually, she's a figurehead from an old wooden ship. And here on Rotterdam, in this copy, she's preserved in bronze for everyone to admire.
I think she is so beautiful.
Really is, and it must have been quite an emotional thing for the shipyard workers to bring up this really wonderful mermaid.
Can you imagine?
I think it's a great moment. And it's sort of frozen in time here on the Rotterdam. Now, after you've admired the mermaid, go back up one deck and we can resume the tour.
Chapter 10, Deck 3, Lower Promenade Deck, Forward Elevators. Now you should be at the bottom of the atrium, on Deck 3, the Lower Promenade Deck. On the starboard side of the atrium is one of my favorite items on the ship. It's an elaborate bracket clock. Its mechanism is below it to the left. Below it and to the right is the mechanism for the rotary clock up in the crow's nest, remember? Just think of the craftsmanship and detailed handwork that went into these early timepieces.
And do take a few minutes to look at all sides of the great clock in the atrium. It was designed by Franz Dingemann's firm and created by Gilbert Le Bigre and Corinne Roger. Here you can see the various features up close. The side facing the staircase is especially elaborate. I asked Gilbert Le Bigre about the process of combining all these symbols of time.
That's what I find really extraordinary, is suddenly to be able to combine poetry and architecture and design, you know. And as a passenger, you suddenly have the feeling that casually you are in the world of the clocks, mechanism of the history of the clocks, and you're into a scenery of clocks, and you are related to a world of imagination and comfort in the same time. I really appreciate the combination of making spaces and to combine them with the meaning.
Now you might be wondering about the weight of a clock of this size on a ship. Well, it's not that heavy, thanks to something called Echo Deco.
That's a substance created by the husband and wife team, Gilbert Le Bigre and Corinne Roger. Le Bigre studied art in Paris and designed sets for the Versailles Opera and for ballets for Nureyev. Corinne is an artist and sculptor in her own right. They created and patented a material they call Echo Deco. It's fireproof, biodegradable, and can be made to look like anything from metal to stone. It's the perfect material for a ship. Light and fireproof. As you walk about the ship, keep your eye out for things that look like stone or plaster. Chances are, they're Echo Deco. And before you leave Deck 3, take a look at the elaborate English crest on the wall. The gilding and detail of the carving is exceptional. It's from the 18th century and probably adorned some hall or building, and it proclaimed the ownership on behalf of a noble family.
Now head for the forward elevators or staircase and go back up to Deck 5, the upper promenade deck. Pause the tour and we'll catch up with you there. Chapter 11, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
Now you should be on Deck 5, the upper promenade deck. Walk to the atrium. From this vantage, you'll be able to see the top part of the great clock. To see still more interesting artworks, well, walk aft around the port, the left side of the atrium, and continue walking toward the aft part of the ship. When you get to the casino, don't go in. Instead, continue aft along the starboard side of the ship, past Mix. Pause the tour and start it just before the Explorer's Lounge. You'll see a display case and a white marble head on the wall to your right. The white marble carving is of a river god, and it was once a fountainhead in a garden.
On the right, in the display case, is one of the true treasures on the Rotterdam. This work of art and great craftsmanship is a carved wood cabinet from the 17th century, and it's a masterpiece. Everything is carved, even the black wood doors. When you open the cabinet, as it is here, you see these inlaid wood panels. The craftsman has created another world that exists only inside the cabinet. These cabinets were often used to house precious objects that the owners brought back from voyages. They were sort of mini museums of the time. Chapter 12, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
Now you should be at the Explorer's Lounge. Now that large mural on your right is a view of the harbor of Amsterdam by the Single Canal. This copy of that very old work is by contemporary British artist Ian Kearney. And, you know, you could imagine what's going on in that painting. What are those people doing on the keyboats in the harbor, for instance? I spent some time with Ian Kearney in his studio in London. He's a fascinating artist. Some of what he does is amazing trompe-l'oeil works. A staircase in his house is full of jungle birds and scenes that seem so real you're tempted to reach out and touch them. He teaches art at a college in London.
Now before leaving the Explorer's Lounge, take a moment to admire the elaborate inlaid marble floor of flowers, set in black marble, for the dance floor.
Exit the Explorer's Lounge and continue heading aft.
Chapter 13, Deck 5, Upper Promenade Deck.
If you've borrowed a handheld device from the Explorations Cafe, before you enter the Explorations Cafe to return it, well, take some time to look at the magnificent Xian warriors. Jan Schmidt joins us again.
I like the Oriental soldiers that are near the Explorations Cafe. I quite like those. That's really impressive. Yeah, I liked it.
These are exact replicas of the huge clay army found buried in Xi'an, China. And they give some sense of the majesty and artistic workmanship of the figures. Incidentally, each of the faces on the thousands of warriors of the originals is of a distinct individual.
There's also a small display case that has some early Ming and Han Dynasty figures and ceramics. These are not reproductions, but actual ceramics from the period. Notice the detailing and realize they are 400 to 800 years old. The small bronze brazier is even older, dating from maybe 200 BC. Now, sadly, we've come to the end of the art tour, but your art experience with Holland America doesn't have to end here. You can download podcasts of art tours on other Holland America ships from the website at hollandamerica.com. And do continue your art experience aboard Rotterdam. You're sure to discover more art as you continue your cruise.
For instance, when you dine in the Pinnacle Grill, don't miss the paintings of Reinier de Munck. He's a Dutch artist working in Zeeland who paints these amazing fantasy pictures. These are scenes that couldn't exist anywhere but in the artist's mind. Well, we're fortunate he's put them on canvas.
And speaking of food, when you're in the La Fontaine dining room, take a look at the amazing murals that were painted by Klaus Postuma. They are inspired by the lacquered teak murals in the dining room of the Rotterdam 5. They really capture the rich texture and feel of an earlier era.
Penguins wanted something that wasn't a recreation of those earlier murals, but something that captured the feeling of them, yet were very contemporary and very much of this time.
And when you're in the dining room, notice the ceiling. Those colored glass circles were created by famed Venetian glass artist Luciano Vistosi. The colors are amazing. In fact, Vistosi once told us that he studied chemistry in Padua early in his career, and that has helped him to create formulas for nearly 2,000 different colors of glass. His studio in Venice is filled with large bins of colored glass.
And to give you a little challenge, well, we have some homework for you. Yes, I did say homework, but we promise it will be fun. If you want to explore on your own, here are some things to look for. Remember we said there was a third sea lion somewhere on the ship? Well, keep a sharp eye out for a small sea lion pup. And there are some vintage Holland America posters that really captured the spirit of the 20s and 30s with their strong graphic images. And there's also a wooden mermaid. And, oh well, just go exploring. You'll find it great fun. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. Have a great cruise.